a huge change for them. Coming to you from Riverside, California, this is the LifeSpring 1-Year Bible and podcasting since 2004. My name is Steve Webb and I'm your OG Godcaster. It's Epistle Sunday and we'll read Hebrews 8 through 10. The website is lifespringmedia.com and I'll have contact information at the end of the show. Before we read, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you for your word and we thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us through it. I pray, Lord, that as we read today, you would teach us. Touch our hearts, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's begin. Hebrews chapter 8. Here is the main point. We have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. There he ministers in the heavenly tabernacle, the true place of worship that was built by the Lord and not by human hands. And since every high priest is required to offer gifts and sacrifices, our high priest must make an offering too. If he were here on earth, he would not even be a priest, since there already are priests who offer the gifts required by the law. They serve in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. For when Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle, God gave him this warning. Be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you here on the mountain. But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God, based on better promises. If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the people, he said, "The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant, so I turned my back on them, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, 'You should know the Lord.' For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." When God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date and will soon disappear. Hebrews chapter 9. The first agreement had rules for worship and a place for worship here on earth. This place was inside a tent. The first area in the tent was called the holy place. In the holy place were the lamp and the table with the special bread offered to God. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place. In the most holy place was a golden altar for burning incense, and also there was the box of the agreement. The box was covered with gold. Inside this box was a golden jar of manna and Aaron's rod, the rod that once grew leaves. Also in the box were the flat stones with the Ten Commandments of the old agreement on them. Above the box were the cherub angels that showed God's glory. These cherub angels were over the place of mercy, but we cannot say everything about this now. Everything in the tent was made ready in the way I've explained. Then the priests went into the first room every day to do their worship duties. But only the high priest could go into the second room, and he went in only once a year. Also, he could never enter that room without taking blood with him. He offered that blood to God for himself and for the sins the people committed without knowing they were sinning. The Holy Spirit uses these two separate rooms to teach us that the way into the most holy place was not open while the first room was still there. This is an example for us today. It shows that the gifts and sacrifices the priests offer to God are not able to make the consciences of the worshipers completely clear. These gifts and sacrifices are only about food and drink and special washings. They are only rules about the body. God gave them for his people to follow until the time of his new way. But Christ has already come to be the high priest. He is the high priest of the good things we now have. But Christ does not serve in a place like the tent that those other priests served in. He serves in a better place. Unlike that tent, this one is perfect. It was not made by anyone here on earth. It does not belong to this world. Christ entered the most holy place only one time, enough for all time. He entered the most holy place by using his own blood, not the blood of goats or young bulls. He entered there and made us free from sin forever. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a cow were sprinkled on those who were no longer pure enough to enter the place of worship. The blood and ashes made them pure again, but only their bodies. So surely the blood sacrifice of Christ can do much more. Christ offered himself through the eternal Spirit as a perfect sacrifice to God. His blood will make us completely clean from the evil we have done. It will give us clear consciences so that we can worship the living God. So Christ brings a new agreement from God to his people. He brings this agreement so that those who are chosen by God can have the blessings God promised, blessings that last forever. This can happen only because Christ died to free people from sins committed against the commands of the first agreement. When someone dies and leaves a will, there must be proof that the one who wrote the will is dead. A will means nothing while the one who wrote it is still living. It can be used only after that person's death. That is why blood was needed to begin the first agreement between God and his people. First, Moses told the people every command in the law. Then he took the blood of young bulls and mixed it with water. He used red wool and a branch of hyssop to sprinkle the blood and water on the book of the law and on all the people. Then he said, "This is the blood that makes the agreement good, the agreement that God commanded you to follow." In the same way, Moses sprinkled the blood on the holy tent. He sprinkled the blood over everything used in worship. The law says that almost everything must be made clean by blood. Sins cannot be forgiven without a blood sacrifice. These things are copies of the real things that are in heaven. These copies had to be made clean by animal sacrifices. But the real things in heaven must have much better sacrifices. Christ went into the most holy place. But it was not the man-made one, which is only a copy of the real one. He went into heaven, and he is there now before God to help us. The high priest enters the most holy place once every year. He takes with him blood to offer, but he does not offer his own blood like Christ did. Christ went into heaven, but not to offer himself many times like the high priest offers blood again and again. If Christ had offered himself many times, he would have needed to suffer many times since the time the world was made, but he came to offer himself only once, and that once is enough for all time. He came at a time when the world is nearing an end. He came to take away all sin by offering himself as a sacrifice. Everyone must die once, then they are judged. So Christ was offered as a sacrifice one time to take away the sins of many people, and he will come a second time but not to offer himself for sin. He will come the second time to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Hebrews chapter 10. The law gave us only an unclear picture of the good things coming in the future. The law is not a perfect picture of the real things. The law tells people to offer the same sacrifices every year. Those who come to worship God continue to offer those sacrifices, but the law can never make them perfect. If the law could make people perfect, those sacrifices would have already stopped. They would already be clean from their sins, and they would not still feel guilty. But that's not what happens. Their sacrifices make them remember their sins every year, because it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So when Christ came into the world, he said, "You don't want sacrifices and offerings, but you have prepared a body for me. You are not pleased with the sacrifices of animals killed and burned, or with offerings to take away sins." Then I said, "Here I am, God. It is written about me in the book of the law. I have come to do what you want." Christ first said, "You don't want sacrifices and offerings. You are not pleased with animals killed and burned, or with sacrifices to take away sin. These are all sacrifices that the law commands." Then he said, "Here I am, God. I have come to do what you want." So God ends that first system of sacrifices and starts his new way. Jesus Christ did the things God wanted him to do. And because of that, we are made holy through the sacrifice of Christ's body. Christ made that sacrifice one time, enough for all time. Every day the priests stand and do their religious service. Again and again they offer the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But Christ offered only one sacrifice for sins, and that sacrifice is good for all time. Then he sat down at the right side of God. And now Christ waits there for his enemies to be put under his power. With one sacrifice, Christ made his people perfect forever. They are the ones who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also tells us about this. First, he says, "This is the agreement I will make with my people in the future," says the Lord. "I will put my laws in their hearts, I will write my laws in their minds." Then he says, "I will forget their sins and never again remember the evil they have done." And after everything is forgiven, there is no more need for a sacrifice to pay for sins. And so, brothers and sisters, we are completely free to enter the most holy place. We can do this without fear because of the blood sacrifice of Jesus. We enter through a new way that Jesus opened for us. It is a living way that leads through the curtain, Christ's body. And we have a great priest who rules the house of God. Sprinkled with the blood of Christ, our hearts have been made free from a guilty conscience, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. So come near to God with a sincere heart, full of confidence because of our faith in Christ. We must hold on to the hope we have, never hesitating to tell people about it. We can trust God to do what He promised. We should think about each other to see how we can encourage each other to show love and do good works. We must not quit meeting together, as some are doing. No, we need to keep on encouraging each other. This becomes more and more important as you see the day getting closer. If we decide to continue sinning after we have learned the truth, then there is no other sacrifice that will take away sins. If we continue sinning, all that is left for us is a fearful time of waiting for the judgment and the angry fire that will destroy those who live against God. Whoever refused to obey the law of Moses was found guilty from the testimony given by two or three witnesses. Such people were not forgiven. They were killed. So think about how much more punishment people deserve who show their hate for the Son of God. People who show they have no respect for the blood sacrifice that began the new agreement and once made them holy, or who insult the Spirit of God's grace. We know that God said, "I will punish people for the wrongs they do. I will repay them." And he also said, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a terrible thing to face punishment from the living God. Remember the days when you first learned the truth. You had a hard struggle with much suffering, but you continued strong. Sometimes people said hateful things to you and mistreated you in public, and sometimes you helped others who were being treated that same way. Yes, you helped them in prison and shared in their suffering. And you were still happy when everything you owned was taken away from you. You continued to be happy because you knew that you had something much better, something that would continue forever. So don't lose the courage that you had in the past. Your courage will be rewarded richly. You must be patient. After you have done what God wants, you will get what He promised you. He says, "Very soon now, the one who is coming will come and will not be late. The person who is right with me will live by trusting in me, but I will not be pleased with the one who turns back in fear." But we are not those who turn back and are lost. No, we are the people who have faith and are saved.
Well, beloved, my comments today are going to be very short because the main point being made in these three chapters can be summarized very succinctly. Here it is. Jesus made the perfect sacrifice with his own blood, and that one-time sacrifice was good for all time. The reason the author of Hebrews elaborated so much is because the main audience of the book, the Jews, needed to be convinced from the point of view of one who, like them, at one time had been under the Mosaic law. Their entire lives they'd been told that doing annual sacrifices was a necessity. And to trust the once-for-all-time sacrifice of Jesus was a huge change for them. All I can say is I'm so glad the old system is no longer in effect. How about you?
What do you think? Contact information will be at the end of the show, or if you've got a modern podcast app, send me a boostagram.
Tomorrow will be the Law Monday, and we'll complete the Book of Numbers with chapters 33 through 36. LifeSpring Berean Brother Paul of Seattle commented on yesterday's Acts 3 and 4, A New Man episode. He said, "Letting God speak through me, what a crazy thought. Crazier still because I think of how people may think, this guy? Most times when somebody says, what did you do this weekend? I stop short of saying, oh, well, I went to church, etc., etc. I always think, am I a good representative for God? It struck me in this episode's commentary about the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter that it's not for me to decide if I'm a good representative. It's up to me to be willing to say such a little thing and let God take it. It is easy to write this, harder to do it. I will continue to pray for God to speak through me and show me His will for my life, and maybe part of that will be speaking up more at work." And he put a smiley emoji. Yeah, that's right, Paul. Easier said than done. But that's the whole point of faith, isn't it? If we knew how the conversation would go, it wouldn't be faith. The Holy Spirit opens the door, and then we must take the first step. A guy says maybe, "What did you do this weekend?" And we can say, "Nothing much. I mowed the lawn and did other chores," which may be true. Or we can lead with, "I went to church." Maybe the Holy Spirit's already been speaking to this guy's heart, preparing him for the moment. He might say, "Really? Where did you go to church?" Which could open up an entire conversation. Worst case scenario, the guy says something like, "So you have a make-believe friend, huh?" Well, that's a whole nother conversation, isn't it? Or maybe he just ignores your response completely and proceeds to tell you about his weekend. Regardless, the job is to follow God's leading. As you said, Brother Paul, let God take it. I'll tell you this, though, the more often you do this, the easier it gets, and probably the more opportunities God will give you. Sometimes you'll just be planting seeds, giving the other person something to think about. But other times, instead of planting seeds, you might be talking to someone who's ready to make a decision to follow Jesus. You'll be harvesting instead of planting. And what a joy that'll be for both of you. Thank you, Brother Paul, for the comment. I appreciate it. Good stuff. LifeSpring Berean Brother Sean of
San Pedro
came in with $456, making him today's executive producer. And he sent this note, "For the work of God while we're between churches. Love, Brittany and Sean." Well, thank you, Brother Sean and Sister Brittany. God bless you. And I'm looking forward to hearing about your drive to Phoenix. Oh, and as a cherry on the top, Brother Sean sent a 10,000 sat boost. So how cool is that? Beloved, this is a Value for Value podcast. And if you're happy that there's a new episode for you every single day of the week, if you're thankful that at the end of the year we'll have read the entire Bible together, and maybe once in a while you even get something to think about with my comments on our day's readings, please pray about how you can give back, either with time, talent, or treasure. I actually do need your support now more than ever, and I'll tell you more about that in the prayer segment. To learn more and to make a donation, I just happen to have a website for you.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
Oh, thank you, and I believe that God will bless you.
LifeSpring 714 Club.
I'm still looking for people who will join Leanne and I and several other LifeSpring family members in praying at 714 each day. If you agree that the culture around us is going in the wrong direction, I'm inviting you to join the 714 Club. Why do we call it the 714 Club? Well, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God said, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." I'd like to see a move of God in our world to bring healing, wouldn't you? Join us as we pray every day at 7:14 and seek God's forgiveness and His will. Set an alarm on your device for 7:14 a.m. or p.m. or both to remind yourself to pray. And then go to 714club.org and add your name to the list of LifeSpring family members who are praying. Scroll to the bottom of that page at 714club.org and put your name in the comment form there. And as soon as I see your comment, I'll add your name to the list. Or you can email me with 714club in the subject line or send a boostagram of 714 sats. Of course, there's no cost to this, just your time. The lovely Lady Leanne's younger sister, Lisa, fell and broke her foot on July 4th. Yeah, I know, July 4th. It's broken in two places, and she also tore some ligaments. Other than the break itself, which is bad enough, this is going to be a real hardship for her. She works two jobs, both of which require her to be mobile. The family business that Leanne and I have is a windshield repair business, which I started 35 years ago. And about 25 years ago, when Lisa divorced, I helped her start a windshield repair business of her own. To work the business, you have to be able to drive and walk, and her other job has the same requirements. Now, I can't help her with a second job, but while she's laid up, I'm going to work her windshield repair business for her, and it's going to add to my already very busy schedule, so there are several prayer requests here. Number one, pray that Lisa's foot heals well and that it heals quickly. Number two, pray for Leanne and I that we'll be able to keep up with our own jobs as well as Lisa's, and that I'll still be able to devote the appropriate amount of time to do this show every day. And speaking of the lovely Lady Leanne, she asked me to add this to the prayer requests. She runs the internet sales department at a local Volkswagen dealership, and most of her income is dependent on her own personal sales. The past couple of months have been very slow for her, and as a matter of fact, June was her worst month ever in the 9 years that she's been in the business. We're even having to dip into savings to make our basic bills, so actually both of us would appreciate your prayers. And I'll mention this now so that there's no confusion later on. At the end of this month, we'll be taking about a 10-day vacation. I'm bringing this up now so that you understand that we booked this vacation months ago, and most of it's already paid for. Having worked at this dealership for 9 years, Leanne gets 3 weeks of paid vacation a year, and it's a use-it-or-lose-it type thing, so that's what's up here. So anyway, your prayers would be very, very much appreciated. And one more. As I was repairing the windshield of one of my clients, his name is Keith, he mentioned that he has two grown daughters with a similar story to the one I've told you about my middle son. Brought up in a Christian family, went to church all through their formative years, but have now decided that they no longer are believers. Keith and I agreed that we would pray for each other's kids. And now I'm asking you to pray with us. And you know, I've never asked for this much prayer for my family or myself on the show, ever. And I have to say that I'm a little uncomfortable doing it. But this is the LifeSpring family, right? Family prays for family. So there it is. The needs are great, but our God is able to supply all of our needs. Amen? All right, let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, because of your great love, you sent your only begotten Son to be the perfect once-for-all sacrifice for those who would believe in him. This was the greatest and ultimate gift in all of eternity, and it's almost too much to comprehend. But over and over again in Scripture, you made it clear that it's true, and you've given us the faith to believe it and to joyfully accept it. We praise your name, Lord, and we offer ourselves to you in gratitude. It's a debt that we can never repay, and all we can do is give you all that we have, just us. Hallelujah. And now, Father, we pray for Lisa. We pray that her broken foot would heal so that there are no residual problems when it's all said and done. And we pray that it would heal quickly so that she can get back to work as quickly as possible. She and her husband need the income she brings in. And in the meantime, Lord, we pray that you would stretch their dollars. And as Leanne and I work her business for her, I pray that you would help us to also be able to maintain the work that we do in our normal everyday lives. This is going to be a very busy time for us, Lord. Give us wisdom as to how to manage it all. And we pray that you would bring clients to Leanne at her work. Bring people in, Lord, who are able and ready to buy cars and who will be truly blessed by having them. Leanne has always made it a point to truly serve her clients, and we pray now that you would help her to continue to do that. We've always trusted you to provide, and we know that you always will. And Father, now I pray for Keith's daughters and my son Stephen, Lord, that you would turn them back to you. Bring people into their lives that they'll listen to. Do, Father, whatever it takes to bring them back to you. And now, Lord, I thank you for the LifeSpring family. I pray that you'll bless each one. Where there are needs, be they financial, emotional, spiritual, or otherwise, I pray that you'll meet them according to your great love. Bring us nearer to you today than we were yesterday. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next time of prayer will be this coming Sunday. Let me know if you have a prayer request or a praise report. I'll tell you how to do that in just a minute. Let me know if you have a comment, a question, a prayer request, or a praise report. Here's how to reach me. To leave a voice message, call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511. Or if you'd prefer to type your message, for prayer requests and praise reports, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. And for comments or questions, go to comment.lifespringmedia.com. Boostergrams are a great way to do any of those things. And last, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Scott Snyder did today's show art. Thank you, Scott. And thanks to Sister Denise, Michael Hainer, Jason Pascal, and Sister Brittany, the other part of the team. And thanks to today's executive producer, Brother Sean of San Pedro. And I appreciate those of you who stream those sats as well. Thank you for inviting me along with you today. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Wapp. Bye.
The LifeSpring Media family of programs are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Thank you.